Okay, hello students of NYC, and welcome back to the second episode of this season's Campus Clipper podcast, produced by students for students. Again, my name is Hannah, and I'm the publishing assistant here at the magazine.
And my name is Sebastian. I'm a former Campus Clipper intern who is now in charge of their social media. Before we begin, we're just going to explain a little bit of what the Campus Clipper is all about.
The Campus Clipper magazine helps students save money and make money in NYC, Boston, and Philadelphia. Students are sent new coupons daily, given valuable advice on student life issues, offered internships that will strengthen their skills, and get podcasts that inform students of useful information.
The Campus Clipper podcast also provides students with $1 meal deals at the first Friday of each month. Students can find Campus Clipper coupons on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, handle at Campus Clipper, or you can use Campus Clipper coupon booklets found at dormitory resource centers. Our coupons are also found on our website, nyc.campusclipper.com. That's nyc.campusclipper.com.
And I'd also like to thank Crumb for partnering with us. Crumb offers warm cookie creations baked fresh daily in NYC and delivered to your door. You can order at Crumb New York today. Students can also win a $25 gift certificate from Crumb when they share the Campus Clipper podcast with their fellow students. Winners are announced on the first Friday of every month.
In order to enter to win the gift card, you must show proof of sharing the podcast with your fellow students. Send proof of sharing to campusclipperpodcast@gmail.com. That's campusclipperpodcast@gmail.com. We're giving away 5 gift cards a month, and remember, you've got to be in it to win it. We at the Campus Clipper hope you win, and Crumb does too.
Last episode, we talked about our experiences on dating during college and discussed toxic masculinity. Today, we will be interviewing my friend, Sebastian Burbano, and we will be getting his opinions on the hookup culture and more.
Hello. What's up? How's it going?
Yeah, what's up? Just to clarify, it's two different people there. We both got deep voices, I know, but just to start off this conversation, why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience so far dating in college?
Honestly, dating in college wasn't exactly what I expected. I expected to come into college, find the love of my life immediately, and that didn't happen.
It's so funny because I thought the same thing.
I went through a lot of struggles, a couple of relationships here and there, and I can't say that it wasn't beneficial to me, though. It was still, the experience is always great. You know, you always try to take out the best from those experiences.
Can you tell us a little bit about your freshman year? Kind of like walk us through your experiences, like from freshman year to senior year?
Well, to start off, I was never part of a frat or anything like that. I wasn't on the sports team, but we didn't really treat our parties and stuff such as like frats. We honestly just wanted to get together and have a good time. I think that freshman year, I kind of came in. I was very excited to go to college. Very excited to be where I was, and I just wanted to go out and party and do my own thing, be on my own, my first time being on my own. And I did kind of fall into the hookup culture at first, because it was very tempting and baiting. And eventually I moved on from that and realized that it's not really aligned with my personal interests.
Yeah. Can we expand on that a little bit? So I don't know if you got a chance to listen to our last week's episode, but yeah, we talked a lot about like the toxic masculinity that like I dealt with all of the frat guys that I was dating and that type of guy. You said you fell a little bit into that. Can you explain it? And how did you treat the girls that you were seeing or
or just sort of expand on it. And if you think that you were kind of exactly like going against your morals, as you were saying.
So at first, like, so I'm a very nice person. Mm-hmm. I like to be straight up with people, but at the same time, I show empathy and sympathy constantly. The way I was treating the girls that I was dating at that time, I don't think it was fair. Definitely not nice. And I regret it, obviously. Why would you want to put someone in that position, you know? Mm-hmm. And it did take me a couple, 2 years to figure out, like, hey, that's not really who I am. That's not what I stand for. I was treating them badly, as in I would never really pay attention to them. I kind of just ignored their texts sometimes, all in hopes of, there's really like, I don't know, there's really no like goal for that. So there's really no reason to do it.
So then what was like the appeal of participating in that culture for you?
I wouldn't say there was really much of an appeal, but I would say that what did appeal to me was the togetherness of everyone within my lacrosse team, and with my wrestling team. We were very, very close people, and we went out and did stuff together. It was great. Like, we loved being together. Mm-hmm. I think that was the best appeal to me.
So you think, I kind of touched on that with like fraternities, them being surrounded by all of that masculinity, but like, especially in fraternities, I'm not really sure how it was with the sports teams, but it's super toxic, and they kind of egg each other on with treating girls this way. They kind of talk about it like it's okay.
Yeah.
So like, when you were doing it and experiencing it, would you say like it was like just because you were surrounded by all these guys who were doing the same thing, so it made it seem okay? And can you kind of talk about like what was going through your head at the time? And like, so you basically just weren't thinking about the girls' feelings at the time.
Right.
That's just kind of how it was.
Right. So I kind of break, I don't know. So when we're talking about toxic masculinity, what I was trying to think of before was, it kind of makes me think like that person has something to hide. And in a sense, I feel like it does repress emotions, and that's not good. I don't think people should do that, because repressing emotions, eventually I feel that it'll show up somewhere else in your life later on. And why would you want that?
Yeah, it's like the worst coping method, to like have all that bottled up within you, and eventually it's just going to spill out. Either it's going to harm you or someone around you, and it's just not a good idea.
Yeah, after that I kind of like realized, I really like put my foot down and told myself that's
not you.
Yeah.
And I know you, you're my good friend, like you are such a good person. And you, I know you to like treat girls normally, but I think that just when you get to college, it really is like, it's just what you're surrounded by, and even though it seems like it's fun and all that at the time, when you take a second, and just because obviously, you know, me like coming from my experiences, like it really does hurt those girls' feelings, and it does affect them like in the long run. Right. So like, obviously you're a good person. So can you talk about like when you kind of matured and like realized it was wrong, and how you started to go about dating after that?
After I hurt this one girl very badly, because I did a lot of things that weren't right, and I kind of realized after that, like, why would I want to make a girl cry? If she didn't do anything to me, why would I do that? And after that, I kind of like really spun around. And
like a wake-up call.
Exactly. I started thinking about how I can improve, how my mom would want me to treat girls, and how girls in this day and age would like to be treated with respect and without the toxic masculinity. For real.
Do you think, so we were touching on this last week too, and I want to get your opinion. Do you think that Gen Z has a distorted idea of dating?
Yes. Yes, because of the hookup culture, honestly. Mm-hmm. Our parents were very date to marry type of culture.
Mm-hmm.
They got together and it was like they wanted a young marriage, you know, quick and fast. And,
mm-hmm. Which is crazy for us to think about.
Right. It's, at this day and age, everyone.
Some of our parents were married at this age, which is
exactly
that's wild. Craziness.
Literally wild.
It's absurd.
I wouldn't even imagine myself right now being married.
I know, it's insane because there is so much life. Like that's another thing. Like yeah, we have changed the way dating is, but also there's so much life to experience on your own too. And I touched a lot on like self-love and like finding yourself in my ebook, and we're so young, and to be married at this age, it's like, it's not that you're cutting your life short, but there's just so much for a person to experience on their own before they like do that commitment. So like, I don't think it's a bad thing the way like our culture dates, but I think that there are a majority of guys who just look at it wrong and just don't really just don't think about anyone's feelings but their own.
Right. I feel like they don't take the right approach to dating. With the hookup culture, basically you'd have, for guys in the hookup culture, they wanted to really exploit how many girls they got with every weekend, this mm-hmm. and that. Now, taking a different approach, I feel like if you would stay with one girl and see how it goes. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You communicate that and then you move on. Mm-hmm. That way no one's left with any unneeded baggage, you know, because mm-hmm. that also translates like
into further relationships. Right.
And that's a huge aspect of it, I think.
Yeah, I will say, like I mentioned, I do have a boyfriend now, obviously, you know that, but, and we have a super healthy, like amazing relationship, but I've had like little mini like freakouts because of my past, because I just would think that he would act in the same way these other guys did. It's like trust, my like trust issues. I trust him so much. Like he really is the best person, but yeah, like I have, and he's like calmed me down, but I have like had little freakouts because I just didn't know like what else. I didn't know that a person like this or someone could actually treat me like this and it be honest and healthy and real. So like it does, it really does affect me. It affects the girls in the long run. And like, I didn't realize it. I'll have these little like almost panic attacks sometimes, and for nothing, because I know that my boyfriend would never do those things, but like it's just what I've experienced. So it is scary, like when you see that those effects, and these guys just have no idea. But that's part of the reason why we're speaking out on it, and like just to bring awareness and to wake these frat guys up.
Yeah, exactly.
But
everybody needs a wake up call.
Yeah. But you've had a few girlfriends, like serious relationships. So do you want to talk about that a little bit? And would you say like when you were participating sort of in like the hookup culture, was that fulfilling to you, or was it more your relationships?
What's most fulfilling to me would be my relationships. I really put a lot of effort into my relationships. When it comes to dating, I don't like to hop around. I would like to stay with one girl and get to know her very well and, you know, create intimacy, because I think nowadays intimacy is people think intimacy is sex. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately it is not. Mm-hmm. Intimacy is really getting to know someone
much more
to the deeper level. And in my relationships, I tend to do that. I like to create intimate relationships because it helps me become a better person, helps other person become a better person.
That's the best part.
And one of my best relationships was honestly in high school. I'm gonna be honest, I did mess that one up. At the same time though, we did have a very healthy relationship. The breakoff was mutual, but the relationship was very healthy. We cared about each other a lot. We would show that a lot. And I have no regrets for that relationship. Now, there was a relationship in college that I did not really like. Mm-hmm. It didn't last that long, but it was pretty bad because it was kind of like my first very serious relationship. I kind of hopped in with someone that was older than me, and the sense of security was like, wow, like I'm ready to go. I feel old now. I feel like ready to get an apartment. Like let's move out. This and that. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like that. And I had to like really turn around and realize that it wasn't like that. I just met her like realistically, and mm-hmm. to think that we would have a whole life together already, it's a little much.
Yeah, but I get that though, because when you start a relationship when you're older compared to high school, like the expectations and everything are so different.
Yeah, I agree. What ended up happening with this relationship? She ended up cheating on me. I had a feeling that it was stretched on for months, but I didn't really know until I went to go visit her at her. She lived on Martha's Vineyard, and when I went to go visit her, that's when I found out. And I was not happy. It definitely hurt a lot, but it made me realize that I really shouldn't rush things. I really need to slow down and figure out what I want first and what I need, and then I can portray that in a relationship with somebody else. So it definitely helped me grow as a person.
Yeah, I think that's definitely like a cornerstone of a good relationship, is that understanding like what you actually want of a relationship. I think that's something that a lot of people they romanticize the idea of a relationship because it's just, you know, it's appealing to have someone there for you, but people tend to jump into things without fully visualizing what they want out of the situation.
Yeah. So going off that, like, so now you're single, right?
Right.
In a pandemic, really the only way to date or to meet someone new, if you're not gonna like try things with a friend, I know people do that, but really the only way is to kind of do like dating apps or like online dating. Have you like done any of that?
The infamous Tinder. Yeah. Bumble, Hinge, mm-hmm. all those. Mm-hmm. I can say that I've never participated in Hinge or Bumble, mm-hmm. but Tinder for sure. I've definitely actually met the relationship that didn't go so well in college. That was from Tinder.
Oh, did you? Really?
Yeah. It's crazy.
That is crazy, because people say Tinder is more of like hookup app and not a relationship app. So that is interesting that like it went poorly. Like that's how you found her.
Yeah, maybe I overlooked the whole hookup thing. Mm-hmm. Because Tinder really is a hookup app. I know that people use Tinder a lot on weekends, mm-hmm. only sometimes, just to find somebody for the weekend. And
it's like the fact that we have these apps, it just keeps enhancing the hookup culture. Like,
yeah. It's a little disorienting too, because Tinder specifically, I feel like it doesn't really present itself in that way. You know, like a lot of people have like genuine bios and like they seem like genuine people. So it's hard to like know what you're walking into.
Right.
But it's hard to know what you're walking into for a lot of other different reasons. You know, you don't know like if you actually meet up with the person that you think you are. But
yeah, exact catfishing and all that. That's a whole nother story. Oh, but yeah, it's really is crazy. And like, unless these people are straight up with you, like in the messages, like you just don't know. Like, and no one really knows what to say. Personally, I just think the dating apps are so awkward. And how do you create a real connection with someone on that, you know, before being ready to meet them in person? Like, I know you can talk to someone, whatever, but you don't know who you're talking to. So yeah. Like, how can you actually create a real connection?
Right. And I think that's one of the other things I needed to work on, intimacy with the more physical intimacy, face-to-face talking. That was one of the things I had problems with, because I was like I said, I was in the hookup culture for a little bit and using Tinder. Really, I had a lot of trouble talking to ladies face-to-face. And one of the biggest things that helped me not freaking out every time I had a date, you know, Tinder really didn't help.
Yeah.
Tinder really didn't help, because you are bringing people together, but at the same time, you're also keeping people apart, because it is digital, and you don't get the same type of intimacy digitally. Yeah.
Right. And what I was just going to say is that you were saying how, like, you would get scared to go on dates and see those people face to face. Like, do you think because you got so used to being behind the screen on the app and, like, and just talking to people without actually meeting them, like, do you think that added to the stress of a first date?
I think so, 100%.
Yeah, it's like a different skill set, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, talking with somebody, first of all, like, guys are expected to make the first text, which is, like, its own skill in of itself, just making that first text. But on top of that, like, just, like, keeping a conversation flowing like that is a little different than, like, when you're in person. It's more, a little bit more challenging, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because, like, people in general just have less experience in person.
Right, especially for shy people. Like, if they're shy, being behind a screen texting is so much easier. That just makes a date so much harder.
I don't know. I know a couple people who, like, say they're going out with somebody and they're like, they just hang out on Discord, like, every night.
Oh, yes.
You know, like, one's in the UK, one's in New York. It's it's a very unique type of relationship. And honestly, I've never seen it work. So I would like to know one person that made it work.
That's very true. I honestly never done that before, but I think that would be very nice for someone that's very shy and, like, I don't know, to kind of, like, start branching out,
mm-hmm.
Eventually move on to meeting face-to-face if that's what they wish for.
Yeah, I think that is crazy, and that we can go from there, like, talking about long-distance relationships, because that's, like, obviously, that's really what that is. But I guess you can create a connection, like, through Zoom, like, through a FaceTime. For sure, because, like, that is, like, face-to-face, obviously not in person, but, like, that definitely is possible, and that's why, like, I can see that, like, people can make long-distance work, but I think that you really need the hard thing about that, like, people meeting, like, across the world and having a relationship. I think that you need a foundation with that person first. Right now, me and my boyfriend, we have a great foundation. I think if I had to go somewhere for, like, a month or two, I think we would be totally fine. But, like, if I were to meet someone online and create that relationship and stay like that, we actually have a friend who met someone on Hinge across the country in Las Vegas.
Oh.
And they actually do make it work.
They do.
We forgot. Really? I just remembered.
Wow,
yeah.
That's good.
Excellent. They met on Hinge, right? Or was it Tinder?
I can't remember. I think it was Tinder, but it was during the time where you could change your location and put it selected to go wherever you'd like. And you sent it to Las Vegas. He ended up meeting a very nice lady out there, and he goes to visit her.
He's currently there right now. He's been there for 2 weeks. Wow. She came here for, like, New Year's. Mm-hmm. They visit each other, but yeah, they started their relationship online, like you were saying, which is crazy. They talked for, like, FaceTime for, like, 3 months.
Yep.
And then that's when he went and visited her. And yeah, they seem so happy and healthy.
Last time I spoke to him, he was very happy.
Yeah.
That's how you know. That's like a needle in a haystack type of relationship.
Literally. That's like, you like know that. That's real.
That's great.
Because, like you said, like, you now you have one example, but, like, it is crazy, like, to think how something like that can work. But I guess it really can. We have examples.
Yeah, that's true.
Proof. Cool beans.
But yeah, I mean, thank you so much for coming on and talking about your experiences.
Of course. Anytime. If you guys want to have me back.
Yeah, 100%. That's all we have for today. But again, thank you, NYC students. Don't forget to share the podcast and get your Crumb $25 certificate. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.